The Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Super Bowl 56.
Stafford takes it.
If you don't root for this guy, something's wrong with you.
And I'm going to have an opportunity to be in another one that I've always wanted to play in.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Live from Los Angeles, home of Super Bowl 56.
At SoFi Stadium.
Today's guests. Caesar Sportsbook Chief Trends Officer Trey Wingo, host of The Dan Patrick Show, Dan Patrick, plus NBC Sunday Night Football analyst Chris Collinsworth. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes. Hour number two of The Rich Eisen Show is on the air for Super Bowl 56, people. We're thrilled to be here in Los Angeles, California. It's a home game. We haven't moved anywhere. Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo, good to see them. TJ Jefferson's about to sit down in a split moment, but joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show, our first in-studio guest of the week, and I've known this man for a very long time, since he first arrived at the Worldwide Leader in Sports a year after I arrived there. Mm-hmm. He is now the Chief Trends Officer of Caesar Sportsbook, Trey Wingo, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Trey.
Yeah, good to see you, brother. It's been a bit. The it good news is I'm the first guest of the week, which means we can only go up from here.
That's not true.
So the bar is set low, so everyone else can climb above it.
Is that the trend that you're sensing? I mean, because
it's kind of the trend of my life, Rich. So I'm good with it.
Trey,
I'm good
with it. Good to see you here, brother.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah. How long have you been here already? Is your kids still live out here?
Yeah, both our kids live out here. Oof. My parents are in Palm Springs, so I got here. I flew in from Maui on.
Of course you did.
Tuesday?
Of course you did. Of course you did.
Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry.
Of course you did.
That slipped out.
Of course you did.
I didn't mean to drop that. I feel bad. I feel terrible.
Of course you did.
I don't feel terrible at all.
Speaking of it, by the way,
it's
Thursday, Chris Berman's on the Rich
Eisen
Show. Did you see him?
Circle the wagons.
Did you see him?
I did not see him on the island. He was still back in the confines of lovely Northwest Connecticut, buried under 17 feet of snow.
But you are not.
That is a factual statement.
Which you are not, because I do not believe it was snowing in Maui, Hawaii. By the way, this is a great quote. I just saw Joe Burrow just said this moments ago. He was asked on his Zoom today for advice to younger athletes. He said, quote, "Don't have a workout and then go post it on Instagram and then go sit on your butt for 4 days. Work in silence."
I love that. But that's him, right? That's who he is.
Right.
Like, that's him to his core. There was somebody else. It drives me crazy. I can't remember who it was. Oh, it was Devontae Adams, who basically said, hey, all you wide receivers, quit posting workouts. Run routes.
Right.
Just run routes.
Yeah, yeah.
Run routes, do your work. And then when you're successful because you put in the work, then people will see what you've done. Don't put out workouts. Just go do your stuff.
I mean, and his ascendancy, I can't see another one like it. Now, I know there's the connection to Brady in terms of year two and, you know, out of nowhere, if you will. But Burrow's out of nowhere happened at the collegiate level.
Yeah.
And we've never seen somebody take the reins of an organization that needs someone to take the reins first overall after having done it at the collegiate level in a manner that nobody's ever done at 60 touchdowns. Like, this is one of the most meteoric rises we've ever seen.
Yeah, remember, sport. I mean, Urban chose Dwayne Haskins over Joe Burrow. I mean, like, and that might have been the right call at the time.
He had 50 touchdowns.
He did.
He
played very well at Ohio State.
Not to defend Urban Meyer.
No. Well,
I mean, that's
an impossible.
You don't want to kick somebody when they're down. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Did I just?
No, I was about to say, no, you want to dunk on them.
I'm
right?
sorry.
Instead of kicking?
No, but I mean, he did. And my alma mater, I think, did have something to do with that. Because when JT Barrett went down in the Big House, I remember sitting there thinking, okay, we got Ohio State right where we want him. And then Dwayne Haskins came off the bench and looked phenomenal.
Sucker came out of nowhere.
He did.
Thank you.
Trey, well,
I mean, Trey, no, but the Joe thing isn't like, you know this as someone who has done the draft and all that kind of stuff. You find all these little notes, right? You find all these little nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the coolest things I remember from the 2020 draft packet that my great researcher, Jim Carr, who worked with me at ESPN, is now part of the Caesars operation with me. Jimmy, you're the best. I love you. He found this note that they did a psychological evaluation of Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said his disassociative properties are off the charts. In other words, in a stressful situation, he responds like a first responder. Like all the bleep that's going on and terrible, it doesn't affect him. And he said, in fact, it's so off the charts, he's either going to be someone like a first responder or perhaps a very good criminal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the, whatever right. it is, he could use those properties for good or for evil.
Right, right.
And he's used them very well for good at this point.
He's like Dexter, just like, you know.
Right, like, yeah. He can remove himself from anything and still,
the ice water
and still sort of accomplish what he wants to accomplish.
So he's in the Super Bowl, he'll either be Dexter or Dexter Lawrence. Is that what you're saying, pretty much there?
Yeah, sure.
The Super Bowl MVP, ladies and gentlemen. So with Burrow, I couldn't help again but think that I was, you know, in SoFi prior to kickoff of the NFC Championship game, and they're showing the AFC Championship game on the screen, and the Niners and Rams fans were all going nuts every single time the Bengals were successful in a snap, in a play, in a first down, in a score, and then in a win. I kept thinking to myself, are you sure this is the kid you want here?
Yeah.
Or do you want the Mahomes, who this year has been up and down? Do you want the guy who, even in this game, has shown that the defense can sometimes confound, despite how generationally talented he clearly is? Do you want the kid who doesn't know what he doesn't know yet?
Well, see, that's the key, right? Like, I think at this point, the Chiefs and Mahomes understand the reality of losing as well as winning. Like, the Bengals don't know that at all. Like, they're not, they're very reminiscent, actually, Rich, of the 92 Cowboys, who, you know, just sort of stumbled into the postseason 1 year. And then in 92, they went to San Francisco with no expectations and they beat the 49ers at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just destroyed Buffalo in the Super Bowl. They don't know anything but success. So they play like they're on Madden rookie mode at times, you know? The Chiefs thing is interesting because the one thing I've learned about this season from start to finish is the only team that can beat the Chiefs would be the Chiefs in 2021. Like, you're up 18 points at home with Patrick Mahomes, you win that game 99.999% of the time. The thing at the end of the first half was the worst decision I've ever seen Mahomes make.
Awful.
And he was clearly not aware of the situation because he tried to call timeout, even though he knew they didn't have a timeout. But as bad as the end of the first half was, the first series was terrible for the Chiefs. They got a terrible spot on that fourth down call, and they called timeout, and then they challenged. Well, if they just challenged and not called timeout, guess what? Yeah. They have a timeout at the end of the half, and they kick that field goal at least. And if they go up with that field goal, they probably win that game. But going off the halftime of that game, the Chiefs looked like they were down 11 as opposed to up 11. And the Bengals were like, we've done this already.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Trey Wingo here on the Rich Eisen Show, Caesars Sportsbook Chief Trends Officer Trey Wingo, the CTO of Caesars here on the Rich Eisen Show. I mean, what you just said, though, and you're right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but what you just said is and this, I think, speaks to what Joe Burrow has done.
Yeah.
Along with the rest of Jamar Chase and Burrow and everyone else and McPherson, who has got ice in his legs,
Money man. Mac.
Okay. And Mixon. You just said the Bengals don't know anything but winning. You literally just said that.
In the playoffs, absolutely.
But this is a team that four straight years finished in last. Like, the last team to do what they're doing is the 99 Rams who won this trophy that's sitting between us, sir. You know, so.
Oh, that's not a swag bag thing?
No,
this
is not. This is not.
I was told there were gifts. Yeah. I mean,
you'll get a mug, sir.
Same thing.
The
really.
VLT is not available on richeisenshop.com.
But you're right. I mean, like, if for example, if they win Sunday, they will have a faster turnaround than the ultimate turnaround, which was the Cowboys from 89, who went 1-15 to Super Bowl champs back-to-back years. They'll do it faster than that team, which is remarkable. They, at this point, they're playing with house money. They don't know anything but success at this point, these guys. Like Joey said, like, we're not underdogs. We're really good. And sometimes when you've been to where the Chiefs have been, where you've been at the top, you've been to the Super Bowl, you've lost one, like, that is a thing that they don't have to deal with yet. And I think it's a huge mental advantage for them.
Trey Wingo here on the Rich Eisen Show. Are the Bengals more interesting to talk about than the Rams this week, do you think?
No.
I mean, the Rams have a ton of things to be talking about.
Like,
so
the Rams are interesting because they're doing it in the exact opposite way we're supposed to do it. Like, Les Snead, whom I love, treats first-round picks like spoiled potato salad. Get it out of here. Mm. It's been in the sun too long, you know? Right. I mean, think about what they did. They traded two first-round picks to get Jared Goff and then traded Jared Goff and two more first-round picks to get Matthew Stafford. They're on a run of going seven straight seasons without a first-round pick. That's only happened one other time, one franchise. The Washington, I mean, I guess we call them the Commanders now, but the other reincarnations of Washington under George Allen once went 11 straight years without a first-round pick, the over-the-hill gang. Mm-hmm. And then when Joe Gibbs was winning all his Super Bowls from 81 to 92, they also went seven straight years without a first-round pick. He's trading first-round picks for a proven commodity. Jalen Ramsey, you know, they traded one for Brandon Cooks. They traded one away for Brandon Cooks. So, I mean, right now they have a 2024 first-round pick. I'm under the complete assumption that they won't be using it.
Exactly.
You know?
There's some freshman on campus right now thinking, damn, I'm not going to be a Ram.
Nope. I'm going to go find me a five-year vet. Shot.
But he always, he chafes at this conversation, though, because, you know, teams are built on second night picks and now third day picks.
Well, that,
you know?
But that's why they're good at this, because Cooper Kupp wasn't a first round pick, right? No. They find Tyler Higbee wasn't a first round pick. Hell, Bobby Trees, Robert Woods wasn't a first round pick. So they what enables them to do what they do is the fact that their scouting department is so good. Because if they weren't finding all these other players in rounds two through seven and undrafted free agents, none of this would work. None of it. It's just a testament to doing it a different way. And it proves the cap, really. Any team that says, well, we can't because of the cap, that's an excuse. The cap is like a bowl of Jell-O. It's completely malleable and changeable. You can take this money over here and make it over here, convert it to a signing bonus so it doesn't. Like when the Chiefs signed Mahomes to that $500 million deal, they created cap space. They created cap space by giving a guy, allegedly, $500 million, which, by the way, which will be torn up in a year or two, and he'll get a $850 million contract.
Probably.
So here's a trend for you that I don't know if it's a trend or not, and I leave it to you to, I guess, bless it with the blue check mark of being a trend.
Yeah.
The last two NFC quarterbacks in the Super Bowl were off-season acquisitions that everybody was talking about because they were huge, big boom off-season acquisitions. Yeah. And the concept, even when Brady went to Tampa, is like, okay,
yeah,
but can he win the Super Bowl in his first year? Like, is he going to win a Super Bowl there? Yeah. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Now it's Stafford. When he was acquired and that whole business, when we learned about what's going on at Cabo, and then it was that big trade with the Lions that made it official. And everyone's like, yeah, but can he really win in the playoffs? Who is Matthew Stafford anyway? And he's here. They made it. They did. And they actually even did the Bucs one better by not only eliminating them, but hosting the NFC Championship
game. Which the Bucs didn't do a year ago because they were wild card.
So is that a trend, do you think? Like the next, like is Rodgers going to basically say, put me on the market? You know, is it, we going to get like Russ? Well,
listen, I don't know how many segments you have before, but the Aaron Rodgers thing could go for hours. I mean, we could do that. But it is. This is, and it goes back to my premise.
Yes.
Like, wins are not a quarterback stat. Teams win games. You got Stafford on a better team. Guess what? He won playoff games. He was in Detroit. They were not a good team. They lost playoff games. You know, Tom Brady went to a team that had Godwin, that had Evans. They got Antonio Brown. And, oh, let's get that Gronk guy out of retirement.
Right.
That might have had some say.
And the defense as well.
Devin White, Shaq Barrett that came over from Denver. I mean, like, they went to really good – both of these guys went to really good situations. I'm not taking anything away from their play.
Yes.
But they were dropped into pretty cushy situations that allowed them to succeed. I mean, remember, the Bucs last year were 7-5. And that was, remember, the four fingers with a Thursday night game against the Bears, Tom. And then they didn't lose again. And the Rams were kind of the same way, you know?
Yeah, they had that mid-season
slump. And that was when Robert Woods went down and Odell came in. By the way, apparently Odell not the problem in Cleveland. Apparently that wasn't the thing. Maybe it might have been some other things. But, you know, you need to find a rhythm. And it's always that team that gets in a rhythm late. And it feels like the Bucs did that last year, and the Rams are certainly in that rhythm now.
I guess this Super Bowl for Cleveland Browns fans, right? If the Bengals win when they don't have to hear about Odell... And if Odell wins, it should be like, could have had him.
And the worst part, the Browns and the Lions are the the oldest two teams that have yet to get to the party. I mean, the other ones are, you know, the Texans and the Jags. They've only been around for a while. But
well, speaking of being around for a while, you got one more segment in you?
I got a lot.
I appreciate you saying that. Because, you know, it's like one of those things, like, when you ask a guest, how you doing? Like, you know what? I've had a rough day.
Yeah.
And, like,
you really want to know? I got a flat tire. my kids hate me.
Well, the one thing to help out with a flat tire is the gift bag that you're going to get when you walk out of here.
So I get an air pump, but not the trophy.
That's correct.
Got it.
There you go. But the air pump will have the Rich Eisen Show Running Man logo on it.
What more do I need?
Actually, I don't know. Do we have an air pump, Chris? Can you look into that, please?
Let me just
make that happen, will you?
Okay.
Call your friend Bezos.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you dare go anywhere more with Trey Wing. I want to hear what's going on with you and Caesar Sportsbook and everything going on in your life. Yeah. I don't want the real answers.
No, I'll get the fake TV.
That's coming up next right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
All right, radio audience, terrestrially, we'll return in 3 minutes from now. We're back here on Peacock and Sirius XM Channel 85. That's my way to not only set the stage for you, but also for my guest, Trey Wingo, who's sitting here on the Rich Eisen Show set. Good to see you, sir.
Always good to be here, bro.
All right, so our radio audience, terrestrially, will return in less than 3 minutes' time. Put the photograph up that Trey just texted me. Who is that handsome gentleman to the left right there?
That is my father, Hal Wingo.
Okay. Hal Wingo the second?
The Hal Wingo the second, okay. Or as he was called growing up, Sonny.
Okay. Oh. All right.
Yeah. See, I'm the third, so that's where the Trey comes
Understood.
From. Understood. And that's us at SoFi over the weekend. My dad was a reporter for Life magazine and covered the first Super Bowl out here in Los Angeles. Yeah. So we did a whole thing that's going to drop on Caesar's channels and on my feeds later on this week about the difference between Super Bowl I and Super Bowl 56. And like his famous line was like Super Bowl I. For Life magazine, they thought it was a nothing burger. You know, I mean,
like, what are you going out there to?
Yeah,
LA
why
for?
Are you doing that?
Right.
There were 30,000 empty seats at the Coliseum. It was on two networks, CBS and NBC, because they wanted to get as much attention as possible.
Right.
And like, nobody showed up. And for Life magazine, their thing was there needed to be some buzz, some juice, because, you know, a newspaper's going to have the story of the game the next day. So they were looking for something that would sort of gravitate people to read about the Super Bowl. And he filed a story, and the photographer sent some photos in back to New York, and it didn't even make the edition. Like, that's how the Super Bowl was not a thing back then. It didn't even make the edition of Life magazine. And talk about how things have changed in this business.
Yes.
The whole Life magazine philosophy was, let's cover 14 things, and maybe two will make the magazine. Can you imagine that today?
No.
Hey, go get five shoots and maybe we'll use one. Like that just doesn't happen.
No, because they'll just put it on their TikTok feed.
Correct. Exactly. And I'll do Instagram Live.
And they're also like, what's a publication?
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, a paper? What is that? So it's fun. It's
going to
be really fun. And, you know, his recollections of that between also the difference between SoFi and the Coliseum. And it's just amazing how much this thing has taken over us as a nation.
Yeah.
Like, I think the Super Bowl is the only thing 100 million people in America can agree on anymore.
Is to sit there and watch it.
Sit there and watch it.
Right there. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's fun. It's
going to
be
good.
It was really a blast, and he had a blast. We We also got his favorite car was a 67 Mustang. So we got a 67 Mustang and drove around LA a little bit in it to talk about stories.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Very Rain Man of you.
10 minutes to Wapner. Okay. I'm an excellent
That's
driver.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. Well, you could have actually, could have Vegas in it too.
Actually, he said, let's take it to Vegas.
Oh! Like, I know a place we can go, as a matter of fact, Dad.
I don't think the owner of the car is down with that. But it was fun. We drove around and had a good time.
Trey Wingo here on The Rich Eisen Show. NetSuite by Oracle is a sponsor of The Rich Eisen Show. If you're ready to upgrade, go to netsuite.com/rich. We're back here on our terrestrial radio network. One big happy family with our Peacock and SiriusXM feeds with Trey Wingo, Caesars Sportsbook Chief Trends Officer. How did you wind up with Caesars, Trey, when they knock on your door, or what happened here?
Yeah, it was a really interesting story, actually. Obviously, the Supreme Court ruling changes everything, and Caesars is an official betting partner of the NFL. So I was, happily doing the other stuff, the podcast, writing for Facebook, working for Pro Football Network, and a bunch of other stuff. And I got a call from a guy that you and I used to work with.
Who's that?
John Kosner.
Okay.
At .com. And he said, hey, I have some people that want to talk to you. I was like, well, fine. I'm really sort of in a happy place. I'm doing what I want to do. And he's like, you're going to want to talk to these people. So I'm like, okay.
Wow. By the way, if that usually leads to a bigwig in Vegas, it doesn't end very well.
Yeah.
Somebody in Vegas wants to talk to you.
Step in the car.
I think it would be to your benefit to talk to these people. Yeah. It doesn't end very well.
Yeah, I didn't have to get in a car with two very large men in gold necklaces.
Very good. Okay.
It was a Zoom call with a couple of people.
That's good.
That used to work with us at ESPN.
Who are these people?
Sharon Otterman is her name. She's the CMO of William Hill Caesars. Uh-huh. So worked with me on ESPN. Remember ESPN The Phone?
Dude.
Right?
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's ESPN The Phone. Kids, look it up. It's a dinosaur.
Did you know that?
I almost got one.
Yeah. That's why it didn't work. You almost got one.
I did not get one. That was the early days of cell phones, early 2000s.
I just wouldn't quit my BlackBerry.
Yeah. By the way, BlackBerry.
For a long time ago.
How much of the market BlackBerry had, and now they no longer exist.
Life comes at you fast. They're like $6 a share, Trey.
It's amazing how things work. So ESPN.com and ESPN The Phone. Are part of your history, and they wind up on a Zoom, right?
Yeah, and Spence Kramer? Do you remember Spence?
Of course.
Spence is part of this. Do you remember Jeff Gagneau?
He owes me $5.
Wow. I can get it from him. Okay. I can get it from him. I'll see him later this week.
Okay.
So, these were all guys that I used to work, people that I used to work with at ESPN. So I'm basically doing the same stuff for them that I did at ESPN, just doing it in a different place on a different platform.
And then Kenneth of Maine winds up there, too.
Sir Kenneth of Maine is there. And this was the real deal sealer. Deal sealer?
I think that works.
That's a phrase?
Let's make it work.
They said, hey.
It's trending. Yeah, it's already trending because you said it, Trey.
Check.
There you go.
Right? They said, hey, would you want to come to Vegas and do a shoot with the Mannings and Halle Berry? I was like, yeah.
Don't forget J.B. Smoove, too.
Let me see. Yeah, J.B. He said, I think I could make that work.
Yeah.
I think I could do that.
You fit it in your schedule.
Fit it in the schedule. So that was a good day. It's been fun.
My one Halle Berry story, I'll tell it.
Hey.
I've got this one Halle Berry story. This was...
It's not that great of a story.
That's a great story.
I'll try and top it with my Halle Berry story.
It's my only one, Chris. Okay? It's not like I've got multiple Halle Berry stories.
All right, that's fair.
You know me, Rich. I'm down for any Halle Berry story.
You know the story already.
And I'll hear it again.
That's a smart man right there.
Any Halle Berry story.
What was that, 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
It's my silly time of my life when I decided to actually train for my run.
Yeah.
And so I started to try and get into shape by jogging.
Yeah. Or jogging with a soft J. You just run.
Well, whatever I was doing, and it's just like it's one of those where I go three blocks, whatever, and I got to stop, and it's just it's not pretty. It's my gait isn't good, and I'm like heaving to get air back into my body. It's not working out very well because I'm probably going home and have a soda. But at any rate, so I'm running, and as I'm running, and I'm just getting ready to stop, I see Halle Berry pick up, I guess, her kids at the corner at a bus stop being dropped off. And I just sucked in my gut, just found a second one like Forrest Gump.
Inspiration comes in many forms,
and
Rich.
As I run past, I'm like thinking to myself, what am I doing this for? Like, what what is my end goal? Like,
You're a dude.
So it just,
you're a dude. That's what happened.
Right.
You're a dude.
So that's what happened to me. It's just like, because I thought about, like, what did I think was going to happen? Yeah. Her children are there. It's not like all of a sudden, like, wow, who is that guy? You know, like, I've got to stop it. And it's like, there's no follow up. There would be no follow. I don't know what I was doing.
This is how you are wired from the beginning of time.
Okay.
This is what it is. Hunter-gatherer reflex kicked in.
And that's my Halle Berry story. Yeah. Well, now, you go.
Okay, here's... So anyway, I do have a slight connection to Halle Berry.
Okay.
In 1986...
Does this involve Kevin Bacon?
No, it does not.
Okay.
But it involves... Well, it might involve Kevin Bacon. Actually...
Doesn't everything involve Kevin Bacon? Right?
Technically, we could make it work. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. That's all good. Go ahead.
So in 1986, Halle Berry was runner-up Miss USA to a woman named Christy Fitchner.
Okay.
Christy Fitchner lived one street over from me in Greenwich, Connecticut. One street over. And she went on to be runner-up Miss Universe that year.
Okay.
In high school, Christy Fitchner dated none other than Kevin Bacon. No, it was Steve Young. Steve Young and Christy Fitchner were the power couple at my high school, Greenwich High School. The rest of us never had a chance. So as I'm sitting at the shoot with Halle, who was stunning as Cleopatra for Caesar's.
Yeah, I saw the commercials.
Not terrible. I figure I got one shot.
Okay.
So, like you. And I say,
sit up straight.
And I say to Halle Berry, if I say the words Christy Fitchner to you, what do you say? And she goes, how do you know Christy Fitchner? I was like, well, and I'm like, I'm in.
Hey,
I'm sorry. In conversation. There. It worked.
It
I'm
worked
in.
And now, yes.
And so I said, well, she grew up with me, blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, I wonder what she looks like now. And I said, I think you won the long game.
Is that what you said to her?
and that's how I got the picture. She's like, oh, that's very nice. Can I get a picture? Sure. So that was my end game, just to get a picture. And it worked.
Okay.
So thank you, Christy, wherever you are.
Well done.
I appreciate you. Mwah.
Put up a poll question. Whose Halle Berry story is better? No. But do you know what this reminds me of?
Yeah.
This reminds me of, on Friday, me bringing up to Calvin Johnson that he lost high school player of the year in Georgia to Sean McVay.
Yeah.
And he said, what did you say? Something like, there's no damn way that would actually be the case or something like that.
Yeah, he's like, I only ever heard about this story after
I made the
hired.
Hall of Fame. Yeah, after McVay got hired. And
so you're telling me he wasn't aware of it when he was in high school?
No.
So is that what we're supposed to believe?
That's
there?
What he said.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Is that what we're supposed to believe?
Yes.
He said he never heard, basically had heard of Sean while he was in high school. Yeah.
There's no damn
that?
Way. There's no damn way or something like that.
Do we believe that, though?
Well, Sean McVay is his, Christy Fichtner?
Fichtner.
Fichtner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Another side note. Do you remember that horrible reality TV show, Who Wants to Marry My Dad?
No.
In the early 2000s?
No.
Christy Fichtner was a contestant on that show.
Halle Berry's won the long game.
Again, she won the long game.
Pretty much.
And go see Moonfall. It's out in theaters.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, look at you.
There we go.
Those commercials are funny.
They were a blast. And Kenneth Wheelock Maine is flying in, I think, as we speak.
Is that right?
He'll be here.
Okay. Those are funny. Cooper, Manning, they're all there.
All there. Archie.
The spread must have been insane, right? Casino spreads at a shoot have got to be off the charts. Like, it's not like some bag of chips.
No, no.
Water it's got to be multiple styles of water.
Yeah.
Like, right? Like, what is a casino style shoot?
We shot it.
Spread look like?
At the top villa on the top of Caesar's Palace.
Yes,
like the hangover suite?
No, that's a different hotel, which I cannot discuss.
Good job. Good job, Chris.
It's different. Caesar's. What are you guys talking
about? No, it's not. Yeah. It might have been.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Come on. I'm not going to do that. No. Like, come on.
That's good.
Come
on. Is this the real Caesar's Palace?
Yeah,
you're exactly right.
Caesar, where it's Caesar.
Come on, guys. But this this one, I think, was like 10 times that size. Well, I literally think this villa was about 6,500 square feet on the top of one of the towers at Caesar's.
Let's cook it, Brock.
It was insane. It had fountains. It had
inside.
It had, in fact, one of the guys on the shoot knocked over the fountain, which is how.
What?
It was a good one. He took a header.
Oh.
But that shoot at that villa was chef's kiss good.
Do you get a Caesar's black card?
really not at liberty to discuss these things.
Look at you. Like, let me just ask the question. Can he be your plus one?
Sure.
Chris, if you can just be your plus one just one time
in
Vegas?
If you want to go, give me a call. We'll take care of the draft. I will be spending an exorbitant amount of time in Vegas for the draft. Yes.
Well, we're coming.
Let's see if that's sweet.
Nobu, here we go.
There we
go. Let's go.
Chris and I were thinking about going to Vegas in a few weeks.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know what I mean?
Oh, sorry. I lost your number.
It's not trending well, TJ. It's not trending well. All right. Very good. What was the first SportsCenter commercial you were in? I remember mine. What was yours?
Well, I think it was in the background of a bunch, like the West Side Story one. Do you remember that one?
Where you were snapping your fingers?
Snapping the fingers.
I think I was. Were you on my side or Larry Bill's side?
I think it was on your side.
Okay.
I think it was on your side.
All right.
The one that I remember, obviously, was the Jerry Stackhouse one, where, you know, he's laughing at my name. I remember Spence Kramer previously mentioned,
of course,
said, hey, how do you feel if we make fun of your name? I'm like, I've had this name my entire life. I'm used to that. So, but the funniest part for me about that, if you go look at that commercial, they shot it in my little cubby there, right?
Yeah.
And there's as you zoom in on Jerry, like laughing at how stupid my name is, there are the pictures of my two kids on the background when they were like 5 and 3.
Oh, boy.
And they're about to be 30 and 27.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So, wow. I mean, but it's one of those things, too. I remember when they come up with ideas and you just want to be in them.
In them.
I mean, guys, I'm telling you, when it was time for a SportsCenter shoot, a SportsCenter commercial shoot, it was all about who's in it and why am I not in more than that person?
Correct.
And how do I get in the ones that I'm going to get in? And they had like this book of all the scripts in them, and they would just basically hold them like a poker hand directly to
They do not want you to see.
They didn't want you to see because it was they didn't want anybody to know who was in them. And then when they finally start coming out, you'd be like, wait a minute.
Why was I not on that one?
There's like six other anchors. Like, why did they choose these people to be in? And it was very competitive.
Well,
we liked each other very much.
Absolutely.
And then when they would come to you with an idea that's kind of like, really? Do I really want to do that? You'd say you had to do it. Like, make fun of your name.
Correct.
Our three,
they sent you down?
Our three guests, Dan Patrick, told me, like, when I got the script about they're sending me down to the minors. Now, I was very sensitive to the subject. I was like year three for me, or year four, and I was making a name for myself.
Is there a subliminal message they're sending me?
No, it's not just that. It's just like I'm all about the branding.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I've got the mug and the running man, and I'm all about branding. Yeah. That's what I'm about. Okay. Yeah. And so I'm trying to brand myself as a SportsCenter anchor. Yeah. Worthy of the chair next to Dan, or when Keith was there next to Keith, when Berman would parachute in next to him.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I wanted to do. And I thought I was being successful at it. So why would I want to have a commercial sent down to the minors?
But see, here's the mental twist. Because we know how good you are, Rich, this won't affect you.
Well,
right? That's the executive
I didn't get any spin. I went to Dan.
Yeah.
Because Dan was the one who fronted it.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was the one who was like, you know, you just
sometimes you gotta take a step back, take a step forward.
And he fronted the commercial. And he basically told me, he's just like, get out of your head.
Yeah.
Cut the crap. Yeah. You know, it's funny. This is a funny spot. You're gonna wanna do it, do the spot. And then I did it, and it's, you know,
it was great.
It's one of the all time greats where they send me down to James K. Polk's High School you know, and the kids are asking me, Mr. Rising, can you buy us some beer? You know, and it is very, very funny, and I'm glad I did it. But at the time, it was, you know, dicey, man.
Your favorite spot of mine was the Lou Duva one.
You see the go in my go in the back there. Like, my kid eyes and the kid eyes and silk
right
that
there.
Was on Absolutely. Lou Duva's shoulders are in on the back of the chair in the green room.
When the facial expression when you sip the tea is just perfect.
You know who was not very happy about that spot? Mm. Take a guess who wasn't happy about that spot.
I can probably imagine.
Take a guess. Go ahead and say it. I'll confirm it.
Stuart?
Correct.
There you go.
Stuart wasn't that thrilled about it because he was just window dressing. And I was the guy. I had the lines. I had the laugh lines. And Stuart would just have to sit there and just be the prop. And Stuart's not happy about that.
He was not a prop guy.
At all. No.
Not a prop
he's
guy.
In one, I mean, this was after he did with Kenny the commercial with Kobe.
Yep.
And
Keyshawn.
And Keyshawn.
And Jason Williams. Jason Williams.
And those are great spots. Yeah. And Stewart's now just got to, and Stewart's like, so I got anything. And Stewart would just be like, so I'm just sitting here?
Yeah.
The number of times you would look at them and say, so I'm just sitting here.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here. That's right. Yeah. I mean, like, that's true.
Yeah.
Like, this is the way. And then there was an, but I was a prop in one that Stewart was in, and I wasn't happy about it either. Yeah.
Well, listen. Especially
the one where he's in the bathroom, okay,
washing his hands.
Correct.
And the horse comes out.
But before the horse comes out of the stall,
yeah,
a jockey comes out.
Yes.
And then I'm first.
Yeah.
Coming out of the stall without washing my hands before leaving the room.
Yeah.
Because for the sake of having to move the commercial along, they would not let me wash my hands. Only Stewart was washing his hands. And I'm like, how come he gets to wash his hands and I don't have to wash my hands?
Because everyone wants to know you're a bacteria-ridden person.
So
that's why.
One of the guys who was like one of the A2s on it, one of the audio guys, comes up to me as he's putting the microphone on me after I'm complaining. They're like, you know, I'm like, just have the water running. I'll just pass my hands through it, whatever. Yeah. So the guy, they said no.
Yeah.
And I had to do it. Otherwise, I was out of the spot.
Yeah. That's
and so
you want in or you want out?
It's pretty much is what I got.
Yeah.
So I then was just steaming as they're putting the microphone on me, where I have nothing to say. Just it's me coming out of the stall and then walking out of a stall, Trey. Yeah.
Not standing at a urinal out of a stall.
What am I doing in a closed door stall?
Dropping a deuce.
Probably not writing a script.
So I'm steaming, and the guy puts the microphone on me. As he puts on the microphone, he goes, you know, it's more important to wash your hands before you go into the bathroom sometimes.
Like, that helps.
And I'm like,
thanks, bro.
Great, thanks, man.
Appreciate that, yeah.
Not helping.
That's not really what we're going for here, but I appreciate that perspective.
Commercial airs. A month later, I'm at the World Series in Yankee Stadium, and some guy screams, hey, Eisen, how come you don't wash your hands when you're coming out of the can? I swear to God that happened.
It sounds like that guy was set up.
Dude,
it sounds like somebody set you up.
It had to be because I was so upset about it.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a few of
those.
And
Stewart was kind of like laughing the whole time because he knew I was steaming about it.
Yeah.
And maybe he's thinking, you know, back in that Lou Duva commercial, they should have given me a line. Because I'd throw you a little lifeline here, but he would just sit there smiling and laughing as the horse.
Yeah.
It was in one of the new buildings before then. They put anything in. The horse took the hugest dump in the middle of the of what was going to be a bustling newsroom.
And the horse didn't wash his hooves either.
No, no. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so what do folks need to know about this Super Bowl from Caesars Sportsbook, sir?
Well, listen, we've done Trace Trends all week long, all season long. We're dropping a couple of episodes of those
On YouTube. And
Caesars YouTube channel, sports, Instagram, Facebook, on my social feeds. We got a piece with my dad coming up. We also did a whole thing about the Super Bowl and all the Super Bowl history. I'm sort of I don't want to say that. I like to think that I know a lot about the Super Bowl, for lack of a better term.
You've covered a bunch of them.
Yeah, so it's like my bum party trick. Some people can whittle and yodel. I can give you the score and the MVP of any Super Bowl. So we did a whole thing going through SoFi, just talking about all the games and the scores and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
It was fun.
All right. And then there's, what's your trend? You want to give anybody a little trend? You got anything about what you think's going to...
Bengals plus 4.5. What?
Yeah, well, that's the line. I'm going to... Way to get the minimum. Good job.
That's the pick, people.
Okay. That's your.
Come on.
I'll make the official pick on. Well, I'll do that on Friday. I'm still.
I told you guys.
Marinating.
I told you guys.
Marinating.
They're all like, you're gonna ask TJ. Go ahead. Yeah. Say what you said to me. Before
I was thinking socially, we come, you know, do a little thing where we get everyone's picks. Yeah. Rich was like, no one's gonna give you the
people,
picks.
People like. You, Trey,
thank you.
Dan coming up. You're still formulating.
Yeah.
You have your own. This is content for you.
Well,
not
it's,
me.
It's,
and I
it's content
I
for
that.
Everyone, and I will happily Rich. Share it with you on Friday.
But just not content for me on the Rich Eisen show.
I will happily send my pick into the Rich Eisen. Yes, here's my content for the Rich Eisen show.
Yes, sir.
I will make a pick on Friday.
Or how about we just have Trey, the Bengals will win or the Rams will win, and we'll just use whichever take is right.
The winner is... The Bengals. Pause. The winner is the Rams.
There you go. Cut and paste. Get the time codes.
There you go. We got it.
Get the time codes.
One of those will work.
Get the time codes.
It's going to overtime.
Oh.
Nah, I don't know. Give it a shot.
I don't know. You know, a guy in Vegas, you know what I mean? Where he knows get the top floor in this thing. All right, you got the photograph, Hoskins? You want to pop it up here? Pop it up here. There you go.
Oh,
a Halle Berry selfie. Look at you, how smug and happy.
Yeah, that's
you
the definition of a leap-eating grin.
Trey Wingo, I'm so
I was like, I cannot believe she said
well,
yes.
Well, from Freeman, Halle Berry doesn't age, and then you just coming over the top.
Dunk on
him. Firm.
Man.
How do you ask for a selfie?
Because the Christy Fitchner story worked.
Is that how it worked?
That's how it worked.
So they.
I had an in. I had an open. We engaged. We engaged, and it wasn't just like, "Hey, can I get a?" She's like, "Oh, sure," because you know we have that connection.
The connection from Greenwich, Connecticut, back in the
Thank
day.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate you, buddy. Wherever you are, Steve
Where
Young.
Steve Young is everyone.
What was he like in high school, Trey?
Very aloof.
Yeah,
like Steve Young. This is a true story. I did a Half Forgotten History episode of the podcast with him. Trey Wingo presents. Check it out wherever you get your podcast. And like he admitted, he completed 41% of his passes in high school. 41%. Like he was a terrible thrower. Like he could not throw.
Grit Young would be very upset about that. Grit.
Well,
if you remember, Grit
Ken
Young
was a long, long, long way away. And we talked about that because like he didn't know how to throw a football until he went to BYU. He went to BYU as a defensive back because the offensive coordinator at the time said to him, I don't like lefties. And he was like, okay.
What a different
time.
Wow.
I don't like lefties.
I don't like lefties.
Wow. Back Hall of in the Fame career later, perhaps you should like lefties.
I'm assuming that OC didn't like quarterbacks that can run very much, or that's BYU, so that maybe they had to have that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But it was just a disaster. In fact, this is another great story. I don't know where we are up against the clock here.
Go for it.
Steve Young owes his career to Sean Salisbury. Because Steve, again, Steve was a defensive back, and they were going to convert him to quarterback because they had some people leave to go on their Mormon mission.
Mm-hmm.
But they also said, look, we've got this kid out of Southern California who's Mormon. His name is Sean Salisbury. And if he commits to BYU, you're never going to see the field.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to USC. Now, Steve probably would have found a way, but like if Sean Salisbury goes to BYU, Steve Young's career takes a completely different and more circumlocuous path. And I love things like that. Like that little point in the road changed his entire life.
Very good.
His entire life.
And it all starts and it all leads to a selfie with
Halle Berry. Roads lead to a selfie with Halle Berry.
What did your wife think of the smug look on your face?
She was like,
when you got that picture.
I think she said, I would have looked the same way too.
Very good.
Respect.
You're Cleopatra. Your own Cleopatra.
There you go.
All right, Trey Wingo. Everyone check out at Wingo Z, at Trey.Wingo on Instagram, your YouTube page for your Trey's Trends, care of Caesars Sportsbook, the chief trends officer for said organization, Trey Wingo. Great to see you, bro.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Big time.
Cheers to everybody.
There you go, everybody. Hit him straight, too, Trey.
I'm going to try.
I know. I can't wait for your next selfie in some beautiful spot.
Give me 10 days.
There you go. Trey Wingo, everybody. Trey Wingo.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Hey everybody, we've got a new merchandise store, RichEisenShop.com. We've got shirts, hats, and a mug. Not just any shirts, inspirational shirts. Show your respect for others by wearing the word on your chest, or show your love of our show by wearing our logo on your chest. Get a trucker hat, running man on the front, party in the back. And get our famous mug that celebrities five-finger discount for themselves when they come on the show. RichEisenShop.com. Order now.
Yes, indeed. Here we go. Here's a mug just to prove to you it exists. There you go.
Not fake.
There you go. Got the gloves out here because the trophy's right here, and Dan's about to come out.
Dan likes touching.
Here he is. Come on out, DP. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Patrick, everybody.
Hey!
Please take a seat, sir. Thanks for coming, DP.
Can I have your shirt, Dan?
You do?
No, he says,
can I have your shirt?
Oh, that happened
That's
a long
thing
time ago.
We've done
is that
before,
a callback?
You know I mean?
Are you going to go call like, back on Dan Patrick as he sits down?
Why not?
Okay.
You want me to take off my Dan's shirt?
We have taken a shirtless picture together before, also.
Yes.
People. So many callbacks.
Why are you making this about you? And
I wouldn't take my shirt off that night.
I'm not making it about me. It's about us. Rich, a moment for us.
I had my shirt off. Somebody had their pants off in this room.
Yes.
That would be Mike Del Tufo.
Yes.
Did not take his shirt off for the photo, though.
He didn't want to.
DJ Mikey D.
But that's how I proved to you.
But he said, I won't take my shirt off, I will take my pants off. Yeah. And I said, sure. Sounds like a win-win.
How you doing, Dan?
I'm good.
Good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to be. Good to be back here.
When did you get here?
Saturday.
Okay.
What is today?
Yeah, I know, right?
It's Monday.
I know. It is Monday.
Yeah, Saturday. But okay. It was good. Went down to Venice Beach. Just did a drive-by.
Okay. Well, I know you rollerblade, don't you?
I have rollerbladed before.
I know that. So,
but,
did you do that?
I did not rollerblade.
Like Fletch back in the day down in Venice?
I don't rollerblade. You know, it was brought to my attention I should probably not rollerblade anymore. And my son says you embarrass the family that
Come
you
on.
Rollerblade. But my daughters think it's pretty cool. But my wife said, you know, I think we've outgrown the rollerblading thing.
So you didn't pack the rollerblades for
I did
for
not,
Los
but
Angeles.
You can rent them down at Venice I Beach. Bet. But I went down there and I wanted to watch some pickup basketball.
Oh, okay.
And it was so funny because there's always the guy who's waiting for an NBA scout to come by.
Yeah.
He just, you know, it's like you go to karaoke and thinking Simon Cowell's going to show up and say.
It is Los Angeles.
Yeah. And this guy was dribbling behind his back. He was doing it. So the guy guarding him is not moving. Because the guy's not moving. He's just dribbling behind his back, dribbling behind his back, dribbling behind his back. And the defensive guy is just going, like, come on. And he makes the shot, and then he starts to flatten. This is on the courts at Venice Beach. There's a DJ there who's...
Oh, what? You're confirming there's a DJ
there?
Yeah,
yeah.
Because Dan Patrick is here. And by the way, Dan Patrick, you're on the Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio. I'm sorry. So you're at a pickup game.
And I watched this with great fascination that these guys all think they can play. And some can, but they're auditioning, you know, that for like an and-one mixtape that could just break out at any moment here. And you're going, no, don't do it. Don't do it. But
did anybody have game? Anybody?
Yeah, there were a couple of guys that had game, but there is some bad basketball. No.
Any white men who did in fact jump and prove that they could jump?
No. There was one guy, a left-hander, had a headband, like bad outfits too. Like if you can't play, at least look like you can play. Mm. These guys couldn't play, and then the way they dressed and. Then you had this guy with a headband, a left-hander, and he kept taking these shots, not even hitting iron sometime. Like, you have to, guys getting banged in the head underneath the hoop. I spent a good portion of the afternoon being entertained at Venice Beach.
Speaking about outfits, Dan Patrick here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did I see on your show to kick off Super Bowl week here in Los Angeles, Will Ferrell in a Tiger outfit? Did he show up in a full Bengal situation?
No, he just did his face. He painted his face in the Bengal colors.
Okay. I only saw a headshot. So,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so there it is. Okay.
And that's a Bobby Gritch patch on his on his jacket.
In honor of one of the great
second
California
baseman,
angels of all time.
And I went, gosh, you know. So there's the Bobby Gritch patch I've been looking for. I just was like, wow, okay. He gave a lot of thought to the patch and then, of course, the makeup.
Yeah.
And he said that the Rams broke his heart when they left. Therefore, he has never forgiven them.
Oh, my.
And he's rooting for the Bengals.
He didn't strike me as a grudge holder, Dan. I'll be honest with you.
I think he's sneaky mean.
He's sneaky grudge holder.
I think he is a sneaky prick.
He's, by the way, put that down for a fantasy team name, please.
Down real quick.
Yeah.
Sneaky prick.
There you go.
He's such a generous guy. He truly is. He's a true generous person, so...
Well, generosity is also to show up to a show like
that. Exactly.
And just like that he's going to come next level. And I imagine like he wouldn't let you see him beforehand and just had to stroll out and you had to just
I wanted the natural reveal. And he got in there an hour before he was going on. And he said, I'm going to be in the back if you just leave me alone. And I said, good. And then he came out with his Bengal colors on.
Now, for you, though, I mean, were you a Bengal guy growing up?
Dan, I grew up in Zanesville, Ohio.
Right.
And we got that's when they had the Cleveland Browns. We didn't have the Bengals then. Then we moved to a small town outside of Cincinnati, Mason. And then the Bengals came to town. And I remember seeing Bob Trumpy play.
Sure.
Bruce Coslett play.
Sure.
The Bengals came in and had Greg Cook, who was rookie of the year quarterback, then got hurt. And we used to sneak into the games they played at the University of Cincinnati. And I remember the first game I saw, the Chargers came to town. And those uniforms.
Sure.
So you had the Bengal uniforms that were horrible. And the Chargers came out. And I went, oh, my God, this is great. And I loved John Hadle and Dickie Post and Lance Allworth. Mm. And I was in love with those colors. And every time I see the Chargers, when they wear those colors, I'm like, brings back memories of going to see them. But, yeah, I got to see a lot of we used to go to games to see the teams coming in from out of town.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like I was a diehard Bengal fan. But then, you know, I started covering them. When I covered the Bengals from a distance when I was working in Dayton when Chris Collinsworth was a rookie. And I remember Collinsworth, after every home game, I went right to his locker because he was
the
gold.
Talker? Okay.
He was gold. He was always great. And, you know, he's still the same, you know, a talker. But they were Anthony Munoz. I was able to be around. I went to the coldest football game in history.
That freezer
game
bowl.
Against the Chargers.
The Chargers again.
Oh, my God. If I bet back then, or I had money back then, when the Chargers came out of the tunnel and the Bengals offensive linemen, like Max Montoya, they had were sleeveless. And if you could have seen the Chargers' faces, if you could have said, hey, you guys are going to lose by like a field goal, but you can go right back in the tunnel, get on the plane and go home. They probably would have went, okay,
yeah,
we'll take our chances going back home and not playing in this game, because they had no chance. It made you cry. If you could cry, you couldn't because your tears would freeze up.
Yeah.
But if you could have cried that day with the weather, you would have. It was.
No kidding.
It was they should never have played that football game.
Really?
Oh my God. Wind chill factor?
Yeah.
I knew a cameraman, you know, and your cameraman has to have, you know, the fingers got to be for the he lost his pinky. It frostbite. Had to have it taken off.
Get out for shooting the game? Wow. Damn.
It was that cold.
And then they made the Super Bowl and saw Montana there, and then they made another Super Bowl and saw Montana there.
But they at least played competitive.
Yes.
Both of those Super Bowls, they really took the Niners, you know, to the end, and, you know, give credit to Montana. You know, even the game in Detroit when they lost to Montana. They at least, and it was weird. I was watching the Chiefs game, and it was 21-3. And my wife goes, "Are you going to watch?" I said, "I just don't want them embarrassed." Because I don't root for the Bengals.
Yeah.
I don't root against them. I root for the people of Cincinnati who, whenever I would say I was from Cincinnati, they would always go, oh, the Bengals. Always. First thing they'd say, oh, the Bengals.
Right.
And you go, yeah, the Bengals. And they, you know, they finally got their quarterback and they got some magic here. And I just didn't want them embarrassed against Kansas City. And it was painful. Then I would just check my phone. And then my wife would go, just go watch it. Mm-hmm. And I go, I can't. And then it was 21-10. And I go, okay. We're not going to get blown out. And then my wife goes, you said we. I go,
There you go.
And then I went down, and all of a sudden I'm watching, and it went into overtime, and I had to walk away. And my wife goes, wait, isn't this important? I go, yes. Tell me what happens. So it came back to I was a fan again. And when I started at SportsCenter, I gave up being a fan. Because I thought it was only fair if I was covering the Steelers.
Sure.
That I was going to be fair to the Steelers instead of somebody saying, well, he's a Bengal fan.
Dan Patrick here. Hour three coming up. But keep going, Dan.
Okay.
No, keep going.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm saying goodbye to the radio audience. You know how this
see
works.
You guys.
No. They're already gone.
They're gone?
Keep going.
That's it?
I'm sorry. Keep going.
Going.
I'm just
terrestrial.
Trying to.
I'm not allowed
just trying to do my job.
I'm not allowed to touch the trophy.
I have these here. Just
you know
in case
I don't wear those gloves.
I have these here.
I know,
just
but I don't wear.
No, I have these here to wipe down the evidence.
Oh, okay.
That's what I have.
Yeah, because I've gotten in trouble before.
I had these here, and I mentioned before, as you were on your way over here, that the trophy's here, and that you've touched it before.
I have
because
handed
you've handed
that
out. It out.
Yeah.
Okay, and that I
they didn't say, hey, got to wear white gloves.
No, because you're handing it to the winner. You know. So,
well, when the guy brings out the Stanley Cup, he has the white gloves on.
The NFL just doesn't. I don't know. This is here just in case.
Okay.
And I definitely said you would touch it because you feel compelled to do it. And plus, you know, it makes me uncomfortable. So I find you laughing at that because you know that's probably true, that I find it makes me uncomfortable.
Well, here's the thing. When they say you handed out the trophy, I didn't hand out the trophy because I didn't hold the trophy to hand the trophy.
So you've never handled this trophy before, is what
I've been on the podium
right,
with said trophy.
Yes.
But that trophy, the commissioner, I think they put it up on a little whatever.
Pedestal?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the commissioner then gives it to the owner or something. But my job, the first time I did it, Joe Namath was coming up and, you know, through all of these people and they're all touching the trophy and they get up to the podium and, you know, I'm trying to interview the commissioner. Well, I'm trying to communicate with the commissioner of right. what he needs to say and what I'm going to say. And I introduce you and then I hand you the mic, those kind of things. So I'm up there for the presentation of the trophy, but not actually handing out the trophy. It sounds more impressive when you hand out the trophy.
Well,
and
did.
I don't correct people normally, but with you, I can.
Well, at the top of the next hour, Dan, I have, I'm going to, you know, it's been a while since I've sought advice from you, but I'm going to do that.
The radio people, they come
They're
back?
They're all here.
Who's coming back?
Peacock.
Peacock.
Sirius XM. Terrestrial Radio.
Everybody Odyssey. Comes up after
the top
of the hour.
Yeah, the hard outs in five.
Is anybody listening to? We'll see you next hour.
Two. And one.